So I want to welcome everyone to a new year, 5769. And we are still at the tail end of the Torah because we don't switch to the new cycle until after all the holidays. So it's interesting. We have a new year, but we're at the end of the Torah. This parsha is a single parsha. Often it's doubled. It's the second of two. It is the shortest parsha in the entire Torah. And one of the great mysteries of life is how come the rabbi's sermons and classes on this parsha take just as long as all the other ones. You would think that we'd get out early, the sermon would only take 5 minutes, because the parsha only has 30 verses, but somehow the rabbi manages to say just
something about each verse.
As my father always says, it just gets verse and verse. Mm-hmm. All right, but to remind us, since it's been a whole year since we last met, we are on a particular path of study. We've already started. We started it after our summer break. Kind of new and kind of not new. Last year, throughout 5768, we were focusing on Parsha insights from the book The Path of the Just, Mesilas Yesharim. But it was kind of like here and there and wherever. What we're going to try to do this year, we've already embarked on this, is to try to stick to the Path of the Just in order. Because order is a crucial component of this book. Okay, I'm going to refresh our memories on that order later on in my remarks. But most recently, we have started the order with the first virtue. There's 10 virtues. The first one is called Torah, which focuses on Torah study. And the key to this path, this cycle that we're trying to work on, is to focus on one virtue, one step in this path at a time. And we focus on it for a period of 40 days. This is something that I'm doing with a small group on my own outside of class. But when we come into class on Friday, my goal is to focus on whatever virtue that we are currently working on, and then search into the parsha for insight onto that virtue. This is day number 34 of 40 days since we began this project, and this will be our last class on the topic of Torah study.
Forever?
For this project, because the next time we meet, which by the way, we do not meet next Friday. We will meet again after the holidays. But the next time we meet, not only will we be back to Bereishis, but we will also be on the next virtue, which is the virtue of Zehirus, or vigilance.
So we're not going to meet until after Sukkot.
Correct.
Why don't we meet next week?
Because we're on break. Because we're getting ready the Lulav and Esrog for the whole community. So our last installment of the virtue of Torah study. Here we are, Parshas Vayelech. What are the chances that we will find a reference to Torah study in a short span of 30 verses? Great, they're excellent. They are. It's probably the best Parsha for this. I know I say that every week. But there are two of the 613 commandments that are found in Parshas Vayelech which are focusing on Torah study. It's remarkable, because the mitzvah of Torah study is found in the Shema. V'shinantam levanecha, teach them diligently to your children. That's back in Parshas Vayeschanan. Parshas Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu's last will and testament, so to speak, And in 30 short verses, there are two biblical commandments about the mitzvah of Torah study. That's remarkable. I'm going to read them to you, and then we're going to expand on it a little bit to try to bring this this virtue, or our study of this virtue, to a virtual close. Of course, we never fit close it, but... All right, the first mitzvah is called the mitzvah of Hakel. If you have a chumash, you could open up to page 1094-95 and verse 10 through 13. I'll read them to you and I'll translate, and then we'll look at some of the notes. Vayitzav Moshe Osam Lemor. Let me start with verse 9 first. Vayichtov Moshe es HaTorah Hazos. Moshe wrote down this Torah. Vayitno el haKohanim b'nei Levi, and gave it to the Kohanim, who are the sons of Levi, Nosim es Aron Brit Hashem, the bearers of the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem. That's the Ark that contained the Torah, the commandments. Yol kol Zikne Yisrael, and to all the elders of Israel. Vayitzav Moshe Osam Lemor. Moshe commanded them, saying, Miketz Sheva Shanim, at the end of 7 years, B'moed Shnasa Shmita, at the time of the sabbatical year, B'chag HaSukkos, during the Sukkos festival. At the end of the sabbatical year. We just closed the sabbatical year. 5768 was the sabbatical year. And this mitzvah that we're about to read, in, you know, once upon a time, when we lived in Israel, all of us, and the temple was there, we would be fulfilling this mitzvah in a few weeks, like in a week and a half, only once in 7 years. So it's really timely that we learn about this mitzvah. Bevo Chol Yisrael Leiros Es Pnei Hashem Elokecha, when all Israel comes to appear before Hashem your God, that is in observance of the pilgrimage festival of Sukkot, B'makom Asher Yivchar, in the place that he will choose, which is the temple, Tikra es haTorah hazos neged kol Yisrael ba'oznehem. You shall read this Torah before all Israel in their ears. Okay? Commandment. On the Sukkot following the sabbatical year, when everyone is gathered to Jerusalem, to the temple, read the Torah publicly. Hakel es ha'am hu anashim v'hanashim v'hataf v'gercha asher bisharecha. Gather together the people, the men, the women, and the small children. V'gercha asher bisharecha. And your stranger who is in your cities. And it's a whole discussion. Who are these strangers? Just a quick footnote. It refers to, according to some, non-Jews who observe the Noahide laws, which are the seven laws that are commanded to Noah, even before there was 613. They're also supposed to listen to the Torah. Although he is not bound by the commandments of the Torah, he should attend Hakel, which is this massive gathering and public reading of the Torah. Perhaps he will be inspired to inquire into its significance and be inspired to convert. It's interesting because we don't proselytize, we don't try to get people to convert, but apparently they should come to this mitzvah, this one mitzvah, once every 7 years. Laman yishmu laman yilmadu v'yaru es Hashem Elokeichem. And the purpose of this mitzvah, so that they will hear, so that they will learn, and they shall fear Hashem your God. V'shamru lasos es kol divrei haTorah hazos, and be careful to perform all the words of this Torah. Okay, that's mitzvah number one. Public reading of the Torah. That's a mitzvah to study the Torah, right? It's a special one, not the one that we do every day. But nonetheless, it is a mitzvah that revolves around Torah study. Okay, mitzvah number two. On the same page, now we're on 1096, 1097, verse 19. I'm sorry, I did want to read just a little bit back to the mitzvah of the public reading. Let me read... just a little, because what part of the Torah was read. Was it the entire five books? No. Let me read what it says in the footnote, page 1095. Once every 7 years, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, of Sukkot, that's the intermediate day, so Sukkot begins Monday night this year, a week from Monday, so then Tuesday and Wednesday will be full-fledged holidays in the diaspora. In the land of Israel, actually only Tuesday. And then the next day is called the intermediate days, where one is allowed to travel and so forth. So on that first day of Chol HaMoed, the entire nation was commanded to come together at the temple to listen to the king read to them from Deuteronomy. He read from the beginning of the book to the end of the first paragraph of the Shema. That's chapter 6. So the first 5 plus chapters. Then he would skip to the second paragraph of the Shema, which is chapter 11. And also ...14:22 to 28:69. That's a big chunk of the rest of the book as well. These passages are all on the general subject of allegiance to God, the covenant, and reward and punishment. The reason for this commandment is that the primary foundation of Jewish life is the Torah, and through it, Jews are distinguished from all other nations to enjoy the highest possible spiritual pleasure. That's something that we've learned about from Rabbi Luzzatto. This being so, it is fitting that all Israel, men, women, and children, should come together to hear it read as a national affirmation that the Torah is our foundation, majesty, and splendor. Part of this is quoted from Rambam, Maimonides. What an event it must have been. You know, lahavdil, like the Olympics. This is our Olympics. But it's not a mass gathering of competition, it's a mass gathering of celebrating and listening to the Torah. If any group of Jews base their practice on anything that does not involve serious Torah study, you can be sure that it is not going to endure. That's not a political statement, that's a theological statement. It says so in our Torah. And that is why any celebration that revolves around the giving of the Torah, the receiving of the Torah, the studying of the Torah, is the greatest kind of celebration that we have. Okay. Thank you. Now let's move on to the second one. In this parsha as well. So verse 19. V'ata kisu lochem es hashira hazos v'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem. So now, write this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Song. The word song is used. Place it in their mouth so that this song shall be for me a witness against the children of Israel. Okay, now this verse is much more unclear. What is this song? So, there's basically two ways of understanding this. Both are true. On one hand, the very next parsha is Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu is written as a song, a poem. If you look at it just visually, even if you look at it in the Torah scroll, it's written in columns rather than in paragraphs. So, and that is kind of like a, really like a theme song, if you will, of the Jewish relationship to God, and a historical perspective on the different on the covenant and what happens when we do not follow the covenant, and how we will eventually come back, and how we will be reunited with God in our land, etc. So on one level, this writing of this song that's referred to in our parsha is a reference to the song of Ha'azinu. But on another level, it is in reference, this word song is in reference to the entire Torah. And I read again from the Art Scroll notes to page 1098, where the caption is, writing a Torah scroll. The sages derive from this verse that every Jew is commanded to write a Torah scroll. A commandment that can be fulfilled. When was the last time you wrote a Torah scroll?
What does that mean, participating?
Well, okay, so we have the oral law to explain it. A commandment that can be fulfilled by writing a single letter of a complete scroll. By extension, it can be fulfilled by participating, by sponsoring a letter. And very often you hear about Torah dedications, and so-and-so is writing a scroll, this yeshiva, this school, this shul, and people want to say, well, I'd like to buy a letter. Okay? And why is a letter so significant? I mean, there's thousands and thousands of letters, because the lack of even one letter renders a scroll invalid. It's just like if you're one of the 10 people in a minyan, you're making the minyan. You know, even though there's 9 other people, but everyone depends on everyone else. You know the one about the town that only had 10 men living there, and they never missed a minyan until misfortune struck. Number 11 moved to town. The next morning, nobody came to shul. Everyone says, well, they don't need me anymore. Anyways, that's kind of like a Sefer Torah. Every letter makes the Torah whole and kosher. And that's how every Jew should feel, by the way. Did you know that Jewish people are counted at Mount Sinai as 600,000? And therefore, the totality of the Jewish people is this group called 600,000 Jews. And according to the Midrash, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. And we make an analogy. Just like a Torah scroll that's missing one letter is invalid, so the Jewish people, without any one member, is incomplete. And that's why no one should ever say that what I have to contribute is insignificant. You'd never say that about a little yud. In fact, you know, in Yiddish, a Jew is called a yid. A yid. And a yid is like the little yud, the smallest letter of the alphabet. And we say, just like the smallest letter can make the Torah kosher, so every little yid makes the Jewish people whole. So we should always remember that. In any case, the mitzvah is to write or to participate in the writing of a scroll. Later authorities have said that what this mitzvah really is all about, okay, you have to understand that we didn't always have printing presses, right? The only way we could study Torah from a book would be to write the scroll.
Or use a potato.
But the fact of the matter is, what this mitzvah is really all about is having sefarim, is having, owning, buying books, having access to books. A community is required to set up a Beis HaMidrash, a place where there are holy books where people can come and learn Torah. That's what this mitzvah is all about. And so you see the connection now between the first mitzvah and this second mitzvah. The first mitzvah is come every 7 years and have a gathering, the entire Jewish people hearing the words of the Torah. Second mitzvah, Jews, individual Jews, write yourself a Torah. Have access to Sfarim so that you can study the words of the Torah on an ongoing basis. Again, a mitzvah centered upon the importance of studying Torah. So, this being our focal point in our project, the spiritual ladder that begins with the study of Torah, this is an apt closing for our study of the weekly parsha, because this one small parsha contains two very, very central mitzvos, which in the really the last mitzvah. I mean, this last one, writing the Torah scroll, I believe, is mitzvah number 613. It is noteworthy, on page 1099 in the footnote, it is noteworthy that this is the last of the 613 commandments, for the climax of them all is to record and know them so that they can be fulfilled and passed on to succeeding generations. So the last mitzvah of the Torah is, and the last send-off before Moshe Rabbeinu bids farewell to the people, make sure you have enough copies of the Torah so that everyone can study.
Okay, does that mean you can buy stuff that you don't have to write?
So some, you know, modern authorities have said that if you can't, doesn't have to just be a Torah scroll. In fact, almost nobody studies out of a Torah scroll. And even if we would have one printed, even if you would have a Tanakh, which is just, you know, just a copy of the words, people don't study from a Tanakh, because a Tanakh is just a written word. There's no explanation. Almost all of our study is at least with a translation, and preferably with commentary. And if we don't have written commentaries, well, the best commentary is a teacher. And we all understand, just from our own experience, that having a written Torah, it's like a closed book. If we didn't have the Rebbe to interpret it, we would be lost. So when we talk about Torah study, we understand that it's not just about having a book, but it's about having somebody to unlock the book, and to bring forth the insights and the interpretation and the human expression of that. That's what makes it the living Torah. So really, when we talk about Torah study, it's almost goes without saying, but we shouldn't take anything for granted, that a person really needs that human component, that Rebbe, that teacher, at least the comments of a living teacher, but really preferably a real human role model that one can learn the Torah from. There's a reason why God gave the Torah in two parts, the written and the oral, because you just can't convey what it takes in a book. The Torah scroll, or even printed books, are only half of the story. I would like to add another dimension to our words today, and really as we come to a close on our 40-day study of the mitzvah of studying Torah, I'd like to add another dimension in the following way. Let's review and ask again a very basic question, and that is, what's our goal when we're studying Torah? What are we trying to accomplish? We understand it's a mitzvah. We understand that the Torah says over and over again, read it, study it, be diligent. The first words of Moshe to his successor Yehoshua was, V'hagitza bo yomam v'layla, meditate in it day and night. But let's ask again the very basic question, what are we trying to get out of it? We're not trying to get a degree. We're not trying to earn accolades. What is our goal? So if we look in the mitzvah of Hakel that we started off today, it says right here, Laman Yishma'u Ulaman Yilmedu, in order that they will hear, so that they will hear, and so that they will learn, the Yaru es Hashem Elokechem, and they shall fear Hashem, V'shamru lasos es kol divrei haTorah hazos, and be careful to perform all the words of the Torah. The goal is, if we could put it into a nutshell, the goal is v'yaru es Hashem Elokechem, to fear, to revere, to have awe for, respect, use any synonym you want, Hashem.
To understand his words, too.
Understanding is a means to fearing. Why do we want to understand it? Because our duty is to adhere to become a servant of God, who commanded us, who wrote these words, and created us for the purpose that our, you know, sages of deep wisdom have told us, in order to achieve the ultimate pleasure. But it all comes back to Liyira Es Hashem, to fear Hashem. And again, use your own synonyms, because fear invokes certain emotions. That's not the point. It's not all about fear, as we know fear. It's not to be afraid. It's not to be scared. It's about adhering to. It's about connecting to and becoming aware of and shaping our lives to, in order to connect with, attach ourselves in some way to God. That is our purpose.
The fear of disappointing.
That's a good way. That's one way of looking at it. I don't want to disappoint him. This is a whole. You can color this many, many different ways. But let's focus on the term Yiras Hashem, because we're going to see that that is a key phrase. Yiras Hashem, fear of God, awe of God, respect of God, reverence. It implies more than just knowledge. It implies knowledge in order to become, in order to shape ourselves, be formed by, with the goal of connecting with God. This is something which Rabbi Luzzatto writes about in his introduction to his book. And since we are students of Rabbi Luzzatto, we can never hear these words too many times. And I know I've quoted this to you this year, but page one. Almost everywhere you look in the world today, you find that the majority of the bright and clever people are devoting their thinking and investigations to a profound analysis of worldly knowledge and its subtleties, each according to his intellectual capabilities and his natural inclinations. There's a lot of scholarship in the world, a lot of smart people, a lot of students, and everybody has their niche. There are some who focus their efforts on the study of the physical world and the laws of nature. Others immerse themselves in astronomy and geometry. Some follow the path of technological applications. Then there are those who have entered the realm of the sacred and are studying the Holy Torah. But even within Torah there are different specialties, different branches. Some occupying themselves with a theoretical aspect of the halakha, the Jewish legal system. Others with midrash. Yet others with the practical formulation of legal decisions. However, there are few from this last group, those who study the Torah, who choose to devote thought and study to the total perfection of the divine service, to the love of the eternal, the fear of the eternal, there's that Yiras Hashem, the cleaving to the eternal, and to all of the other aspects of piety. And he explains why people don't do that, why you don't have as many specialists. You have in a yeshiva, you will maybe have, well, let's say, you'll have 50% that will go into the rabbinate. Of that 50%, you know, maybe half of them will become halachic experts. Others will become great teachers. Others will become what's that?
Kollel
rabbis. Well, teachers, counselors. How many will become specialists in the study of Yiras Hashem? Divine service. Fear of God. Now, you might say, what do you have to be a specialist in that for? Isn't that the most elementary of all? doesn't the fact that we study Torah assume that we've already adopted Yiras Hashem as our mantra? That's right. That's why there aren't so many specialists, because it's so obvious. But wait a minute. If Yiras Hashem is so important, is it easy? Is it something that one can acquire just because he says, oh sure? This is where the fallacy is. He says, Yiras Hashem is the most difficult to acquire. He quotes sources. He quotes sources that the most developed and the most sophisticated type of wisdom is in this wisdom of Yiras Hashem. He quotes King Solomon. King Solomon, for example, this is on page 4. In Mishlei, Proverbs 2:4, if you seek it as you would silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand fear of the Eternal. When will you understand fear of the Eternal? When you will seek it as you would seek silver or gold or hidden treasures. It does not say you will understand philosophy if you seek it, or astronomy, or medicine, or legal issues. It says, then you will understand fear of the Eternal. We see that in order to understand fear of the Eternal, one must seek it out as he would silver, search for it as he would hidden treasures, even more so than would be required to achieve some of those other subjects. Wow. So there's something here called Chochmas Hayira, the wisdom of divine fear, divine service. There are other verses. There's a famous verse that we say in the first page of our Siddur. Usually we skip over it because the Chazan starts on page 14 or 16 or 18. But on page 2, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem. The beginning of all wisdom, or it could also be understood as the crown of wisdom, Yiras Hashem. How to fear God. Another verse, Job said, Hain Yiras Hashem hi Chachma. Behold, fear of the Eternal. This is wisdom. Implying singularity. Do you want to know what the ultimate wisdom is in the Torah? It's the wisdom of Yiras Hashem. Rabbi Lutato writes that this is why he has written this book. And over Rosh Hashanah, I had a chance to read an edition of Mesilas Yesharim, which is edited and anthologized. Notes are written by one of the great Rosh Yeshiva, heads of the yeshiva from Europe, from the Slabodka Yeshiva, who went on to join the transplant of that yeshiva into the land of Israel, the Hebron Yeshiva, which unfortunately suffered a great massacre in 1929. But this rabbi escaped, Rabbi Sarna, and he writes a history of Chochmas Hayira, of this wisdom. We all are familiar with the traditional Mesorah, the traditional tradition, passing of the torch from teacher to student, of the Torah in general, Moshe to Yehoshua, to the prophets, to the elders, and so on down the line, and all the rabbis. At some point in time, while the Torah continued to be passed on, and we had the Mishnah, we had the Gemara, there was this elusive discipline or this specialty that kind of maybe was forgotten because it's so obvious of Chochmas Hayira. And at some point, in fact, I've said that it was traced down to the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon, who lived in the end of the 1700s, he said, oh my goodness, everyone's studying Torah, but are we still preserving Chochmas Hayira? Are we studying how to serve God properly, with our hearts, with the right intentions, are we still keeping up that art and that specialty of wisdom, the ultimate wisdom? And he said, we've got to put that back on the curriculum. Now, it's never really been lost. If you read Maimonides, if you read his magnum opus of all the laws of the Torah, he's got in there, there's a mitzvah to love Hashem, and this is how you do it. There's a mitzvah to fear Hashem, and this is how you do it. There's a mitzvah to cling to Hashem, and this is how you do it. The Rambam did include it in there, but it was very legalistic. There were other great rabbis who followed the Rambam who wrote books on personal acquisition of these qualities. And they were wonderful, and they went into great detail, more psychological in nature, so that a person could really absorb it and incorporate it into his mind, into his heart, into his intellect. But it wasn't until, writes Rabbi Sarna, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, in the 1600s, in the 1700s, and he predated the Vilna Gaon a little bit. The Vilna Gaon, when he saw Rabbi Luzzatto's Sefer, he said, I would have crawled, or I would have walked by foot across the continent to sit at the feet of Rabbi Luzzatto. The Vilna Gaon said that. So the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Luzzatto, set out to write a work that would, as Rabbi Sarna says, distinguish itself from all of the other books in that it taught it all. It was a complete program from beginning to end. Rabbi, for example, in the 1300s, Rabbi Nuyona of Spain wrote a book on Teshuvah, a seminal work, but it's only on Teshuvah. The Chovos HaLevavos, Rabbi Bachaye in the 1300s as well, wrote a book called Chovos HaLevavos, Duties of the Heart. It's an incredible gold mine, but it's about the duties of the heart. Rabbi Luzzatto wrote a book on everything, encyclopedia.
He wrote two books.
He wrote many books, but one on Chochmas HaYira. The other books are on philosophy. This is on Chochmas HaYira, becoming a person of divine fear and love. And the reason why it was on all of it, how could he make that claim, is because he was just following the words of Rabbi Pinchas in the Talmud, in the original oral law, who said, and this is what our study is based upon, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said, Torah mevi'ali de zehirus, Torah brings one to vigilance, zehirus mevi'ali de zerizus, vigilance brings one to alacrity, zerizus mevi'ali de nekius, alacrity brings one to spiritual cleanliness. I'm starting to sound like a broken record. Nekius mevi'ali de precious, cleanliness brings one to abstinence, precious mevi'ali de tahara, abstinence brings one to purity, purity brings one to piety, piety brings one to humility, humility brings one to the fear of sin brings one to holiness, holiness brings one to divine inspiration brings one to the resurrection of the dead. By the time you get there, you've got it all. Now, to be fair, Rabbi Luzzatto's contribution to the Chochmas HaYira was not complete, because although the book was written, but where was it found? It was found in the studies of the rare individual who found it within himself to go into this kind of study. It wasn't mainstream, like Rabbi Luzzatto writes. Very few would work on this. So even after Rabbi Luzzatto wrote his book, you think it was an immediate changeover? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Mesilas Yesharim became the textbook of the day schools, of the yeshivas? Far chance, because Rabbi Luzzatto was even ostracized for having written this book. As all changes in the Jewish people are. We're a stiff-necked people, and we don't take to change so easily. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, student of the Vilna Gaon, or his grand student of the Vilna Gaon, fought long and hard to introduce the study of the Mesilas Yesharim into the curriculum of the yeshivas and into the libraries of the shuls and the Bate Medrash in every town where Jewish people live. And since that time, it has become accepted and mainstream to study these kinds of books. And so now, if you go to a yeshiva and you have not studied Mesilas Yesharim, you failed, you got to go back and repeat the course. So, is it the Mesilas Yesharim per se? No. Let's associate with the term Chochma Sayira. Let's walk away today that we see from our own Torah that the Torah is vast. There's so many different mitzvahs and so many different topics and so many different angles. Let's remember that the Torah says the purpose of Torah study is leman yilmedu is leman yishmu leman yilmedu v'yaruas Hashem Elokeichem. The purpose of Torah study, the purpose of listening to the Torah on Hakeil, that's once in 7 years, is so that they will hear, so that they will learn, so that they shall fear Hashem your God, and be careful to perform all the words of the Torah. That's the purpose of the Torah. And therefore, if we get distracted with all the details, and we forget that the purpose is Yiras Hashem, then we have to run back to our Sefer, because this is the textbook which we still use today in all of our school systems, so to speak. This is not studied in any elementary school for sure, maybe a little bit in high schools, but I'm talking about colloquially speaking, this is our required textbook in Jewish life, because the purpose of Torah study is Yiras Hashem, and this teaches us how to do it. So we are embarking on a special, particular journey. Not only are we studying Mesilas Yesharim, but we are actually taking the words of a more recent sage who said that Mesilas Yesharim is not just for studying, but it's actually for implementing, as you would an action plan. And the way that we can do that is by focusing on one virtue at a time. That is what we are here to try to do this year with God's help. Tehe Shanat Siman Tov. May this be a year of good signs. And may one of the great signs be that we together will find the very, very rich and very rewarding occupation of studying the Torah Laman Yilmedu the Yaru, in order to fear Hashem, using the Mesilas Yesharim as our guide, not only as our textbook, but as our workbook.
Amen.
So, amen. With that, I wish everyone Gemar Chasima Tova, and thank you for being part of this journey, and may we all stay together in good health and happiness and reap the fruits of our labors.
Amen.
Question from Rabbi Philip.
So I think it's this one question. The goal is a relationship with God, studying Torah, yeah? That's the goal.
Relationship is a little new age.
Connection to
yeah.
Relationship with God. So,
yeah.
Now, which is it? Is the goal wisdom? Is the goal fear of God? Is the goal a relationship with God? It sounds like we now have three goals.
Three.
Part A, B, and C. Let's say the goal is Yiras Hashem.
Fear of God.
Yeah.
And that's not a means to an end? To wisdom?
No. But Yiras Hashem is wisdom. Yiras Hashem is wisdom. In other words,
it includes both fear and wisdom.
It is something that has to be studied in order to be internalized. and implemented. The goal is, it's like a whole, it's like a whole body experience. We, our relationship with God is with everything, with our whole being. Like it says, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha, with your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole, all your resources. Mm-hmm. In other words, that's the relationship that we're talking about. Okay? That relationship presupposes that we have a something called Yiras Hashem. That state of being in Yiras Hashem and having this fear of God, which motivates us to serve Him with our whole being, is something which requires study. That's the study of that wisdom. In other words, you don't just wake up one day and say, I am a servant of God. You have to study it. Just like you don't wake up one day and say, I'm a doctor. Because I would like to heal people, therefore I am a doctor. If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to school. And you have to study how to do that. And the same thing is with Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is what we want to be. Mm-hmm. In order to have Yiras Hashem, you have to study it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll certainly hear everyone saying you've got to study Torah, but that's so wide open. So we're focusing a little bit more.
I mean, it's not like you can start out fearing God and proceed from that assumption. You start out by studying Torah and you end with the fear of God. No,
right? Like Rabbi Pinchas says. Torah brings to the next step.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Yiras Hashem, the thing that you could say, this person is a Yiras Hashem, that's a very, very high level. You know, you could say, because I study Torah, I'm more careful about what I do. Ah, now you're on a level. Now, I'm not just careful. I study Torah and I'm careful and I'm also, I bring myself with zeal and with enthusiasm to fulfill my duties. That's another level.
Mm.
You know, in other words, we follow this. In other words, we don't really have to. That's what Rabbi Luzzatto is telling us. You don't have to worry about how to get to this ethereal concept. Here's the plan.
Mm.
So you want to get there? Follow the plan. Step by step. Study Torah.
Lovely. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Alan.
Is the Shema an integral part of Deuteronomy?
Absolutely.
It can be read here in Deuteronomy?
Yes. I believe it's chapter 6.
Okay.
But you won't find the Shema has three parts, and they're not all in the same place.
I thought mistakenly that it was written way after by the Shav.
Thank you very much.
The Council of 70.
Mm.
Now the Council of 70 put together the
Siddur.
The Siddur.
And the Siddur has the Shema. So I understand your thought process.
But they took it out of Deuteronomy.
Right. What they did is they took the Shema, which it was a biblical commandment even before them to recite the Shema. What they did was they incorporated the Shema into the prayers that they authored.
Yeah. And it's such a beautiful prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So it really gets.
Shema itself is not really a prayer because it's not talking to God. Shema is a declaration. First, it was part of Moshe's address to the Jewish people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And then it's for us to repeat it as an affirmation. It's not really a prayer in the formal sense.
I stand corrected, but what I meant to say was the paragraphs preceding it and following it have great poetry.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I know where you learned about the structure of prayer from.
From Rabbi Silverman, absolutely. And I remember, in fact, I walked in on you and he when you were studying the Torah, so I could copy down the outline from his board. This is when I was just beginning.
Hmm.
That's the first time I met you, in fact.
This was in the other room?
Yeah.
Low ceiling?
Yeah. And I was so taken by your name.
Really?
Because I had
Goldberger.
Already
right.
been studying Goldberger.
Yes, Yes.
But I learned all of this from Rabbi Silverman, thank God.
And he still does it.
Yeah.
I know you've long graduated.
Well, he had to kick me out of his class because I wanted to stay there.
Have a wonderful new, blessed new year.
Thank you. Thanks for your teaching.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.